Welcome. You're listening to a sermon podcast from Oak Hills Church in Folsom, California.
We are continuing on in our series that we've been on since September. We're calling it Ancient Wisdom for Modern Life. Hopefully, you guys are still working through your little magical, put this passage that we're studying on in our in a little bookmark sort of thingamajigger, if you, hopefully some of you are working on it. So we'll read our passage this morning is one verse. It's verse 28 out of Ephesians chapter 4. So if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word, it's up on the screens as well. Paul writes, "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? So, Father, we just pause to reflect and to thank you for everything that you have provided for us. And we just recognize that everything that we have comes from you. Pray, God, that you would teach us to work for your glory and for those who are in need. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember when I was like 6 years old. And I was walking through the kitchen, this very vivid memory, walking through the kitchen. We had this little island thinging with a countertop, a Formica. You know, Formica, it was high tech in the 70s, Formica. And I walked by, and there's nobody in the kitchen. And on the little island thingy, there was a 5-peso coin. It's growing up in Mexico, so pesos were the thing. There's nobody around. And nobody seemed to be watching over or guarding the 5-peso coin. So very slyly, careful not to leave any fingerprints or disturb any of the things around it, I took 5-peso coin. Now, for reference, at the time, this would have been around 1976, if you sort of, plus or minus, 5 pesos was worth about 50 cents, you know. Enough for a couple pieces of candy at the local candy store, or maybe even like a whole bottle of soda pop. You know, if I wanted to go crazy and spend it all in one place. So I took it, and everything was fine. Like, you know, nobody saw me. No formal investigation was launched. There was no questioning, you know. Press didn't get a wind of it or anything like that. Nothing happened. But on the inside, I was racked with guilt. And so I told my sister, which was a big mistake. Of course, because like a week later, she ratted me out. We were in the truck with our dad, and somehow the subject of stealing came up. Like, she might have even been the one to bring it up. And, you know, hypothetically, the question was posed as to, you know, whether or not we had ever stole something. And, of course, I said, no. And she said, hey, what about the 5 pesos? And I tell you the story because as I was prepping for this message, I was kind of thinking back through my own life experience. And trying to find, you know, my own experience with stealing. And this is the only story I could come up with. Which is weird because I'm almost 55 years old. Like, that's the only story of stealing I could come up with would be like when I was 6, so like 50 years. Like in 50 years, I haven't stolen anything in 50 years. But that's kind of the way it is with stealing, isn't it? Like, it's not something that we think we struggle with. Like, you come in today and you hear today's verse and the verse says, stop stealing. And you're like, whew, got an easy one today, you know? You look around and you're like, hey, actually, I think we all got an easy one today. Like, last week, like, Mike was all into falsehood and anger, and that was, you know, a lot of you people are dealing with that stuff. But stealing, you know, just don't expect people who steal a lot to be, well, you know, it's like, these are good people here. We don't steal. Kind of makes you wonder why Paul would even bring it up in this little passage, these instructions for kingdom living that he is writing to people within the church. One commentator I read on this passage said that Paul brings this up because many of the converts in the Gentile church came from the dregs of society. You know, slaves and such, for whom stealing was a common practice. Which if you kind of feel what the guy is saying, he's saying, well, Paul actually did have to point it out to them that stealing was bad because, you know, they were that kind of people. But for us, you know, we're not the dregs of society. We're refined, suburban people. Paul was talking to them. And yeah, they probably needed it. But us, let's just be honest. Stealing isn't that big of a deal. Of course, that doesn't actually check out. Because Paul brings up stealing in another context back in Romans. Romans 2:21, he says, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? And if you read what Paul's getting at in Romans, it makes you kind of think that it's not just the dregs of society that struggle with stealing. Apparently, preachers struggle with stealing too. Maybe preachers aren't the dregs of society, I don't know. Or maybe stealing is actually a bigger problem than we care to admit. You see, the reason that we all think that stealing isn't something that we struggle with, the reason that the only story I could come up with about stealing was one from 50 years ago, it's like even scary to think that I've been alive that long, is that, you see, we all have this very sophisticated strategy for defining stealing as something that other people do, but not us. We have all very carefully defined stealing as not what I do. Like, for example, and I know none of us would actually ever say this out loud in a conversation with our children, but if you look at how we live, at how society, this culture that we live in, lives, you might deduce that we think that stealing isn't stealing if you don't get caught or if nobody tells you to stop doing it. Like, you know, this was a big one back in the day when we were actually, you know, copying CDs from each other. Remember that? Remember Napster? Anybody remember Napster? Yeah, it's a... Or stealing isn't stealing if nobody gets hurt or if they don't notice that you're doing it. Like grabbing some gummy bears out of the bulk bin at the grocery store. Which, by the way, having a son that works at the bulk bin in the grocery store and just had to do inventory this past week, apparently grabbing gummy bears out of the, it is stealing. Stealing isn't stealing if the person can afford it or if the people we're stealing from are bad people. Like, this is why we feel okay about fudging on our taxes, right? Or, like, you know, fudging on fees to the government. Because, they're all corrupt anyway. They take way more money than we do. Or here's a big one. Stealing isn't stealing if the thing that we are stealing isn't physical. Like, I remember my first job out of college, I was working as an engineer at this company that built these big things. They were training. As part of the training, I had to go and work out on the manufacturing floor with all the mechanics. It was super fun. So I could learn how the machines that we made were actually put together. And so I was out there, you know, part of it was preparing some cables for connection. And one of this cable had, I had to strip the cable off and I had to cut off this had this really cool stainless steel like mesh as kind of the ground shielding for the cable, and I had to peel it off and cut it off, and I noticed that the stainless steel mesh was, you know, it kind of is this cool, you know, like those things that you put your finger in and then you can't pull them out sort of thing. Like, it was like that, but it was like stainless steel, and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool, because you put your finger in, you know, and it's fun. And so I was like, this is kind of convenient. So I grabbed the chunk, and I stick it in my pocket. And the mechanic that was training me said, no, don't do that. You'll get fired. You know, I was a young guy, you know, recently introduced to company living, and I was like, nope, can't take anything. And I was like, well, okay, sorry, you know, put it back. I just thought to myself, these guys are really sticklers. Like, you can't even steal something that would be, like, if you're taking trash, that's stealing. So I was like, wow, the moral compass of this company and the people that work here must be really, really high. Of course, a couple months go by, and I worked there for a while. I found that while everybody was very careful not to be sneaking trash out of the building. It was, though, common practice on the manufacturing floor that when a delivery date on a product was coming up, guys would deliberately work slower so that they would get called in on the weekend to work overtime and get paid time and a half or double time for doing a job that they could have actually finished if they would have worked their normal pace during the week. But of course, none of them saw that as stealing. And I don't bring this up to, like, get us all worked up in some sort of legalistic lather, all stressed out about whether it is stealing to pluck off a grape at the grocery store or if it's wrong to borrow a friend's Apple TV password to binge the last season of Ted Lasso while your wife is away for the weekend. I bring this up to point out that stealing, whether it is taking something that is not ours or withholding something of ours that is owed to someone else, that stealing is, in fact, a routine part of how the world without God lives. It is, in fact, a routine part of the futile, hard-hearted, feelingless life of unsatisfied sensual indulgence and greed that prevails in our culture. And so we ought not be surprised to find that it is subtly part of our life as well. And it's the subtlety of it all that shows why a legalistic approach that says, do not steal, well, that will not be enough to sustain us in the Jesus way of living. See, we simply would not be able to legislate enough, to be specific enough to cover all the instances, all the situations, all the various exceptions and loopholes to whatever definition that we came up with for what it means to not steal. And so the apostle doesn't simply leave his instruction to the church at just not doing something. Instead, as Mike pointed out last week, he structures his teaching on stealing in the same way that he does all the detailed instructions in this section, in this form of taking off the old self and putting on the new. It's the formula that he lays out in verses 22 through 24 when he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And you see that formula at work here in this verse. The first part, take off your old self, which is, of course, the part of us for which stealing, and again, in whatever socially acceptable, justifiable form that we have learned to do it, it's a place where we take stealing and we stop doing that. That's taking off the old self. To the next part, which is to be made new in the attitude of our minds, to change our thinking, which in this specific case means to change our outlook from stealing to toiling. Paul says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands. And the word translated here as work is a word that carries this idea of working hard, of toiling. What we mean when we talk about grinding at work, of working until we're tired. And you can see what the change of attitude in our minds would be. Going from the quick, easy, rather effortless road of stealing, being the way that we get things, to working hard. Which, you know, at first pass, at the first read, you're like, yeah, you know, that sounds pretty in line with our culture. That sounds pretty American, you know. Americans, we are all about hard work. We're all about the Protestant work ethic. Which, of course, might be true on paper and on bumper stickers. But in actuality, if you look around, you'll see that we live in a culture, in a context that doesn't actually want us to work hard. Not really. Our culture doesn't want hard workers. We can go overseas to find those. What our society, what our economy really wants is consumers, right? Because we can make money off of consumers. Like if you take an honest look at what our culture believes to be the good life, right? What you'll find is not a picture of someone working hard. You will see a picture of someone consuming. The good life is not a picture of someone serving, but of someone being served. The good life is not a picture of someone giving, but of someone taking. I mean, yes, we might value hard work, but only as a means to an end. The end, of course, being that glorious moment when we independently wealthy and we can do nothing. Have the man work for us instead of the other way around. We have an entire industry created around the idea of how do we build passive income, right? Which is income that we get from doing nothing. Because in our culture's point of view, doing nothing, now that's when we're really living. And this is why stealing in all its various forms is so prevalent in our world. It's the logical product of our culture's value of having stuff put together with our value of not doing anything. But to all of this, Paul says, this is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. The way of Jesus is not the way of stealing. It is the way of working hard. It is the way of toiling, of grinding, of doing something useful, doing something good with our own hands. It is the way of putting your back into it. It is the way of sweat. It is the way of getting up early and going to bed tired from the day's labor. Life in the kingdom of God is a life of working hard. But, very importantly, it is not a life of earning. Life in the kingdom of God is a life of working hard, but it is not a life of earning. Notice how the Apostle Paul doesn't say that instead of stealing, we should go out and make a lot of money. You see, another way in which our culture has undervalued the idea of hard work is that we've attached monetary value to all the work that we do. Meaning, what makes something worth doing or valuable is the monetary earning that we receive from it. And the corollary to that, of course, it's not too far to take the next couple steps to say that a person's worth is therefore connected to the amount of money that they earn for doing what they do. Things that make more money are seen as more important, more valuable than things that make less money. People who make more money are seen as more important, more valuable than people that make less money. It is the way of the world. But what this does is causes us then to see things that we do that make more money as more important than the things that we do that make less money. The hours we spend at work earning more valuable than the hours that we spend at home with our family, or the hours that we spend serving others in ways that don't earn money. But you see, that is not the way of the kingdom. I remember I was once on this mission trip with a number of folks from a small group that we were in at the time, and all of us in the group were professional people. We're all professional kind of jobs that all earned professional kinds of wages. And we'd flown down to this country, we were spending 10 days, and one of the major projects that we were doing, we're working at a ministry that worked with kids, and so one of our major projects that we engaged in during the week was removing rocks from a field so that the ministry could plant food and be able to feed the kids that were in the program. And it was hard work that we did by hand with shovels and picks, and sometimes digging up rocks that took, you know, three of us a couple hours to get out of the ground and roll them out of the field. And in the midst of all this, one of the guys that went on the trip jokingly made the comment to me that, you know, if we'd all just stayed home and donated our salaries for the week and the money that we spent on airfare, that we could have bought the organization a tractor and they could have gotten it done a lot quicker. And from a simply pragmatic perspective, he wasn't wrong, right? But of course, in the kingdom of God, pragmatic and efficiency concerns are not primary goals. In the kingdom of God, much more important is the spirit, the attitude with which we do things. When we are personally involved, we put our personal spirit into it, because ultimately, work is not about how much money it brings into us. It is about how much of us we put into what we do. See, ultimately, our work is not about earning our own living. Our work is not about us being able to achieve comfort and self-sufficiency for us and for our family. Our work is not a way to establish our status in society. Our work, us doing something useful with our own hands, according to this passage, is about having something to share with others. Paul writes, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And if you let those words soak in, it just flips our entire philosophy on work upside down. You see, the perspective that we're used to, the way of life that we have learned out there, sees hard work as something to avoid, as like a necessary evil to get the stuff and the status that we crave. Work is a means to get something, which again is why stealing is such an attractive option. And if the ultimate objective is to get, well, then stealing just seems like a pragmatic, efficient way to get. This perspective is also why our work ethic sometimes boils down or is driven by our covetousness. Like, I want a nice car. I want a nice house. I want nice toys. I want to go on nice vacations. Therefore, I go to school and I study hard so that I can get a good job to get all of those things that I want for myself. And then when we do, and we get all those things, and we go, that's actually not what I wanted. Stuff is not that great after all. Which is within when we look and we wonder, well, why did I do all that work then? But you see, the kingdom of God isn't about getting. The kingdom of God operates not on the principle of get, but on the principle of give. And so in the same way, work in the kingdom is not about getting, but it's about giving. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul, who ironically enough is actually visiting the actual church of Ephesus. So this is before he wrote the letter to Ephesus. He's actually been visiting them. He's on his trip away. He's leaving, saying goodbye to his friends and giving them some final instructions. So in verse 35 in Acts chapter 20, as he's saying goodbye to his friends, he again touches on this theme of hard work. And he says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, this kind of toiling, this kind of hard work, by means of this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. I don't know about you, but I was shocked to notice that phrase, better to give than to receive, right? We've all heard that. That phrase is actually comes up in the Bible in the context of work, right? Like most of the time we teach it to our kids at Christmas, or when they're going to a birthday party and not their birthday party, and they're going to have to put up with the fact that the kid's going to get a bunch, and they're not going to get any. Oh, but it's better to give than to receive. Okay. Fine. As long as I get at my birthday party, I'm okay. But it comes up in the context of work. How would that change our attitude as we go to work? If we thought of it not principally as a way to earn our living, but as a means to having something to share with others. Would that change what we did for work? Would that change what we studied in school? Would it change our attitude at school? I mean, imagine for a moment a musician that is practicing her scales, not so that she can get good at it and receive accolades and get famous and make a lot of money, but as a means to have something beautiful to share with a world in desperate need of beauty. Imagine a student studying medicine, not because it's a good way to make a good living, but because of there are actually sick people in the world that need to be healed. Imagine an entrepreneur starting a business not so that they could maximize their profits, but so that they could have a place to employ others, to provide a service that the community actually needs. Imagine tech companies or pharmaceutical companies not competing for market share or racing products to the market, but actually working together, actually pooling their knowledge and their skills to address the needs of the world. It's not hard to imagine how much better life would be, how much more enjoyable going to work would be if this was our perspective. But that's not how the world works, you say. And you're right, it's not. But we can work that way. We can change our attitude about what we do with our hands. We can go into our vocation, not for what we gain by it, but what we give through it. We can see our paycheck not as something that we've earned, but of something that we get to share. We can see the sweat of our brow, the ache in our back, the blisters on our hands as something that we've done to provide for those in need. And when that becomes the attitude of our mind, well, it's just easy to see how stealing, it just becomes a non-issue for us. Because stealing forfeits the joy of giving to others out of the good that our hands have worked. And of course, the best practice to develop that mindset in us is through the simple act of giving. Give your time. Give of your hard work. Learn to see the hours that you are on the clock as something that you give to help your coworkers, to help the organization that you work for. Give of your money. Give of the fruit of your labors. The easiest way to capture this perspective that Paul is talking about here is learn to give a regular percentage of what you earn. You can, of course, give to the ministry here at Oak Hills. But in addition to that, there are a lot of people out there that are in need. There are a lot of organizations out there that are working to try to meet those needs. Our giving helps them do that job. Give of your gifting. Give of the things that you do well, the things that make you feel alive, the things that bring you joy when you do them. And give out of your weakness, the things that you do not because they bring you joy, not because you love to do them, but because, well, they need to get done. And you know that by doing them, you will make somebody else's life easier. You see, when God designed this world, he designed it with hard work in mind. Hard work isn't an evil. Hard work isn't a product of the fall. It's actually a gift. It just feels evil because our culture has twisted it and perverted it into something that only exists so that we can get stuff and get status and be able to look down on other people who don't make as much money as we do. But when we make our work not about us, not about earning, but about giving, well, then our work, our toil, if you will, it becomes a way that we serve God and others, the way we give to God and others, which, according to Jesus, is a much better way to live. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? And so, Father, we confess that even though we don't call it stealing, even though we could not be convicted in a court of law, we do confess that we have taken what is not ours, that we have withheld that which we owe to another. That we have taken shortcuts to get what we want, thinking that that is what real living is about, and yet we stand here overflowing with riches, yet recognizing the emptiness of it all. So we confess that to you. And we commit with Zacchaeus that we will make it right. That from this day forward, our life will be about giving. Our work will be about giving. Our money will be about giving. Our life will be about giving. God, there are so many people in this world that are in desperate need of help that we have the means to give to them. Open our eyes to see it. Give us the will to step into it. God, that we might learn the words of Jesus, that to give is better, in fact, than to receive. Because God, we recognize your goodness. We recognize you have provided, you've given us everything that we need. Everything that we need, we have for free in you. So transform our hearts. That our work would be as your work is, for the benefit of others. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.